Since our last news episode, Bitcoin has died once again. It went from almost $42,000 to $32,000 in a flash crash. Some people panicked and mourned the demise of Satoshi's creation, but for those of us who have been around for a little bit, we just smiled and waited. It didn't take long because 3 days later, Bitcoin soared back up to $40,000. Dead my ass. Pantera Capital says Bitcoin will reach $115,000 by August of this year. The Biden administration is prepping a $3 trillion stimulus package. And what will that mean to the price of Bitcoin? And now Elon Musk has overtaken Jeff Bezos to become the world's richest man. Today we celebrate Peter Schiff being wrong again. So it's a good day to talk about all the news in the crypto world, and let's get busy right now on this bad news, episode number 478 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Who's bad?
Let's have a moment of silence for Bitcoin dying once again. Okay, that's long enough, because it's not dead, folks. It's alive, and so are we, at least as of this recording. Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast. I'm Joel Kahn, and that gentleman enjoying a cup of sausage gumbo noodles is Travis Wright.
I'm not dead yet. Come on, get in the cart, Bitcoin. No, I'm not dead. Still living.
That would be a great meme. Take the picture from Holy Grail, but paste Bitcoin on the guy's head.
Yeah.
I'm not dead yet. Oh, fantastic. Welcome to the show, folks. We're glad you're here. This is episode number 478 of the show. This is our weekly news roundup edition. We get all the news, we round it up into the corral, and then we talk about some of it. Obviously, not all of the news, because then the show would go on for days and days, and you'd get sick of us. I'd get sick of us.
True. Nobody. We grab all the news and we round it up and put it in a re-education camp.
Before we get to re-educating the news, exchange transparency cannot be emphasized enough. You got to know what's going on at your exchange of choice. Hey, what's happening over there, exchange? Well, decentralized exchanges known as DEXs bring loads of benefits, and one of those is transparency. The Lattice Exchange, it's fast, it's powerful, it's secure, so secure that the U.S. military trusts Constellation's Hypergraph that the Lattice Exchange is built on. You guys can check it out and their fast-growing community on their Telegram. Get on the ground floor of the DeFi revolution at lattice.exchange. That's lattice.exchange. Timestamp, 1:33 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on the 14th of January in the year 2021. The zombie apocalypse is getting closer and closer. CoinGecko.com is our favorite place to go to check out the crypto market caps. And right now we are at $1,082,000,000,000. Bitcoin touched 40,000 on its rebound today. It's currently sitting at 39,542. Ethereum, 1,220. Tether, 0.993. XRP, almost 30 cents. Polkadot, 12.59. Litecoin coming in at number 6 at $153. Bitcoin Cash, 5.29. Nice week for BCH. Cardano's, 31 cents. Chainlink, 17.40. And rounding out our top 10, squeaking by the Binance coin, is Stellar at 30.5 centavos.
I'm looking up here. I'm seeing Bitcoin dominance 68.2% with ETH 12.9%. Now, look at that. That right there is 81% of all cryptos is Bitcoin and Ethereum, folks. The rest of it is shit coins. That's what they say. That's what the maximalisms like to say.
What happened to the Voyager token this week? VGX, the huge winner. Look at it. Seven-day gain of 437%, sitting at $1.10. You know, I think I might have a few of those. When I saw that, I'm like, wait, do I have any VGX in one of these wallets here? I'm checking.
Yes, that is a huge 437%. That thing just took off. It's got some pretty good volume, too, $28 million worth of volume in the last 24 hours. IOST, that's up 130%. Anytime you see something up over 100%, you got to be like, what? Avalanche had a huge avalanche up. It went up 92%. Zcash, 73%. Solana, 71%. Bquant token, QNT, 65%. The Maker, you know, Maker has been on a tear lately. And the MKR token, that is up to $1,654. That was up 62%. Horizon is up. Hedera Hashgraph is up almost 50%. Bitcoin Gold is up 43% to $13.90. So that's interesting. Dash up to $135, up 43%. Sushi up 40%. Nano up 35%. Amazing. So many projects this past week up over 10% plus. So many of them.
So is it altcoin season?
I don't know if it's altcoin season or not. There are a few losers also. Not so many, but the energy web token, EWT, that's down about 20%. Ample Fourth is Ample down 19%.
How's Ample Fifth doing? Are they just below them?
I'm not sure. I don't see that anywhere, but possibly. EOS down 16%. Wow, there's news about that. There's news about that we'll cover this week as well. Looks as if Daniel Larimer and team have left the building with EOS. VeChain down 15%. Celsius Network down 13%, which is hilarious to me because I finally bought some and then the price goes down. Good job, Travis. We are not financial advisors.
Wah, 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 wah. So going back a few days, the story on dailycoin.com, the headline is Bitcoin bulls halted in a massive correction. This was January 11th. It reached an all-time high of 41,941 on January 8th. And then there was a massive correction that dropped it all the way down to 31,115 on Monday. And, you know, it's always funny to look back at stories and see the analysis at that time because they're like, well, we broke the support level. So if it could be another drop down to 29,000. And that is not what happened. The bulls are large and in charge because as we follow up on our next story here from today, just a few hours ago on Cointelegraph, Bitcoin refuses to die as Bitcoin price hits $40,000 just 3 days after the crash, added $10,000. Remember we were talking about this before, how we would see these big moves, right? That it, and you better buckle in and hold on because it's not for the weak.
You know, I saw a trend on Twitter just like yesterday that said, well, Bitcoin dream is over. It just proved that it went down 25%. It has no need. It has no use in society as a currency. Like, really? Right, who wrote this freaking article? And it was on a mainstream publication too. It was like, seriously? Are you serious? Are you new to the game here, folks? Because that's what's called Bitcoin on sale. Like when Bitcoin does those little drops, like that's what, you know, it is always concerning. You're like, okay, so we've already passed 20 grand and we just skyrocketed to 40 grand. It would make sense that there would be a little bit of a correction, right? To at least, you know, I thought there's going to be a correction to probably 25 grand maybe, or 30 or 25 grand. Again, not financial advisors, but it's always interesting to watch this thing. Right now is a different time in humanity right now. There's so much turmoil and crazy stuff going on that I don't know that, you know, things that, you know, the ways the markets traditionally move, I don't know if they apply right now because there's some crazy stuff going on and further evidenced by here we are back at 40 grand. I wouldn't be surprised to see us hit 50 grand here by the inauguration.
Well, you know, the other benchmark that a lot of people in the crypto community like to look to is what Peter Schiff has to say. And of course, immediately after the drop, Peter Schiff, you know, chimed in to talk about how it's not a good store of wealth. And, you know, people are saying, there's the indicator that it's going back up right there. Peter Schiff is talking it down. And sure enough, it went back up way faster than we anticipated.
Yeah. Dude, Peter Schiff's been talking shit on Bitcoin since it was a dollar. Like, oh, this has no, like, this is no value in this thing. $10. Oh, God, this is a complete ripoff at $10. Like, Max Kaiser told Peter Schiff about Bitcoin. He said at a dollar, and he still is here. It is at $40,000, and he's still like, no, it's no value in it. Well, by God, you know, if you got you know, shit tons of money, and like if you found out about Bitcoin at $10, like, how about throw $100 at Bitcoin? Now you got 10 Bitcoin, and now guess what? Now you'd have $400,000 in Bitcoin just by spending $100. Like, how is that horrible? And I've been watching gold since 2008, and gold has not done shit. It's gone up. It almost doubled at one point, and that's about all. And whoop-de-flip-de-do. Like, that's nothing. Like, not in this space that we're in. And you're telling me in 13 years, a doubling in price of gold is all we've got? That just shows how the manipulation of the price of gold is just, they just have so much paper gold. They manipulate the price of gold. How could the price of gold still be so low when printer goes brr? And there's so much more money in existence now than ever. And I guarantee you there's not much more gold in existence than ever. The price of gold should be probably at least 10 grand, 20 grand, just because they're holding the price down artificially. And so you don't actually get a real price of gold. So I don't know. Maybe parallel universe, Peter Schiff is correct. In this one, he is wrong as fuck.
I just like that you said whoopty flip and do. I mean, to me, that's a win right there.
That was, you know, I kind of harnessed my Chris Farley for that little moment.
I like the whoopty flippin' do. That's good stuff right there.
Well, I don't know that I've ever said that ever.
Yeah, that's why I enjoyed it so much. You know, when you say, this is really interesting, I don't get excited because I hear you say that all the time. That's like, okay, drink. I think that's what I'm going to start drinking, you know, because I keep my water right here while we're recording. So I'm just going to drink water every time you say something that you say a lot.
Okay. And you say the same things a lot too.
I know I do.
So
you can drink, you can do a hit.
Every time I have to drink water because you say these things, I'm going to have to go take a pee.
You're going to have to pee all the time.
Yeah.
This article on Market Insider from Business Insider gives three reasons why Bitcoin has doubled in less than a month and why we're not likely to see the repeat of a crash. And what's really funny there is it pulled back massively after this article. But the three reasons are things that we've talked about many times. First one is FOMO, right? We've got companies like MicroStrategy that are buying a metric crap ton of Bitcoin. Square is buying Bitcoin, and they're not the only ones. And other people are like, oh, damn, we got to get some Bitcoin in our portfolio or else we're going to miss out on this. Another one is demand for inflation hedges, because as we're going to talk about in a few minutes here, the $3 trillion package that the new administration intends to release is definitely going to impact our economy and increase legitimacy, right? There's fewer and fewer black market types of nefarious activities, as this article says here. And we're seeing national banks use blockchain and stable coins in legitimizing crypto.
Yeah, and actually, you know, looking at the interest over time of Bitcoin over the last 12 months, the Google Trends has skyrocketed to near all-time highs, because here we are, the price has gone up so tremendously. Now, I want to say this. On Sunday, we're releasing an interview with a guy, an anonymous person known as the Blue Wizard, who is a huge crypto whale in the NFT space. And he was talking about this. He was talking about, you know, the fact that on Bitcoin, what's happening is like companies like PayPal and some of these other ones, the Cash App, etc., they're going direct to the miners and they're getting those newly minted coins. Those newly minted coins aren't making it to the markets. So those aren't impacting the price. They're actually doing an end around. And so they're doing those on the OTC markets and actually, you know, able to go direct. And so, you know, there's less and less and less coins that are making it onto the market. And one of the things that that you'll hear him say is he imagines that there'll be a time where Bitcoin makes a huge, tremendous drop. And then what'll happen is people will sell and freak out. And then all the institutional investors will then go back in and buy it all up. and it'll go boop, and then boom, hit 400,000 just in a heartbeat, and people will be essentially, you're essentially out of luck, and you're not going to be able to have one complete full Bitcoin ever again, because those prices are going to be stored by those large institutional investors. And so, you know, make sure you hodl some of your Bitcoins. If you're going to try to do some trading and try to time the market and you're getting scared, it could be a bigger thing at play that you're unaware of.
And make sure that you listen to this interview on Sunday. It is truly epic. Definitely one of the most thought-provoking interviews that we've done. And just mark your calendar. So, you know, what you should have is us set to automatically download to whatever your podcast player is. And then you don't have to remind yourself, because it'll be there.
This one, folks, this one could be one of the most amazing interviews for the industry.
In the whole history of forever.
Yeah. So not just bad crypto, importance in the industry. And you'll hear why once you start listening to the thing. And when this information, this guy drops, you're going to start questioning who this guy is.
Who is this guy?
He's the Blue Wizard.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy. The article here on Cointelegraph says that Bitcoin's surge from 30,000 up 20% is the biggest one-day rebound. It's like, ba-boom, there it goes.
You know, I always look at that and I'm like, what, is this a dead cat bounce? You know, it's like, it's really hard to time the markets. And I know that it hit 40 grand, and I was like, man, is it going to dip? And then it's like, and then it dipped, and then it went, oh, then it went back up to 41. And I was like, okay, so wow, it even hit another high. And then it dipped down to like, you know, 34K of some sort, came back up again. I'm like, all right, well, was that the dip? And then ba-boom, dropped down to what, 30,000, 31,000 or something. I was like, is it going to pop through there and drop into the 20s? It's hard to time the market in this space, folks. You know, in a lot of ways, just if you got your Bitcoin, you know, I don't know if you're going to be able to ever perfectly time this thing. I know I try, and it always seems like, all right, I sold some Bitcoin up. Oh, wait, now it's higher again? Damn it, now I got to buy that Bitcoin back before I lose. Oh, wait, now it's down. Like, you're just going to lose. Just like hodl it.
Is it going to pop or is it going to drop? All I know with Bitcoin now is I can't stop.
And we're going to add that to the Spotify playlist.
Yes, the Do Not Listen list. That's the one for sure. Yeah,
there's a great article here by the heavy metal band Pantera. They're like, Bitcoin better be 150,000 by August 21st.
What I want to know is, how do those screamo singers do it? You know, where they're like, I'm like, I tried that for 2 seconds and I want to cough.
Dude, they have a lot of Hall's menthol. Like,
they must have something. I don't know. I ain't got it.
Yeah. So Pantera Capital, not the band, not the heavy metal band, they have predicted that Bitcoin will rise more than 200% in the next 8 months to reach 115,000 by August this year. And they say that the latest run of Bitcoin will not end the same way as its 2017 counterpart. And the founder and CIO and CEO, co-CIO, CICIO, Dan Moorhead said, the picture for crypto is just so strong right now. 6 or so months ago, Bitcoin's market cap was the same as L'Oreal's cosmetics. And now it has passed Facebook. And that is a huge difference in how the market perceives Bitcoin.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, this is something that is definitely going to impact the price of Bitcoin. The upcoming Biden administration is preparing a $3 trillion tax and infrastructure package, called part of his Build Back Better program. And when you're printing that kind of money as stimulus, I mean, think of that, $3 trillion, just putting it out there into the economy. The government doesn't have it. They don't have $3 trillion sitting somewhere in a reserve that they can just, you got to print it.
Mm-hmm. It is that we're going to see over time. Now, again, not financial advisors, but the massive printing of money, eventually it's going to collapse. It's going to stop. And I was watching this video today about how there's interesting stuff that's going on with this new administration. You know, one of the things about the Trump administration was America first. And one of the things about this future administration is not America first. In fact, they're selling a lot of the grain futures from America to China, not only this year's, but next year's. And so they're thinking there's going to be such a shortage of grain in the future here in America because we're giving it away at low prices and selling it and exporting it all over the world and not saving enough back. So not only are we seeing, you know, Chinese companies, you know, becoming very valuable and you know, manipulating and actually funding a lot of stuff they probably shouldn't be doing in America. America's also giving away all of our grain to China so that they have it and we don't. That's going to create a big problem. But when we're creating all this huge stimulus packages here, the amount of money in circulation is going to skyrocket. We're going to see the price of gold, probably not, but crypto probably continue to roll. So hopefully you got yourself some crypto and hopefully you got yourself some storage to help you, because there could be some crazy dark days ahead, folks.
You know, I remember seeing the meme, the Neo meme from, not Neo, Morpheus from The Matrix. What if I told you that, you know, I wish I could say this exact, but the paraphrase is, what if I told you that one day you won't need to sell your Bitcoin, right? Because we always talk about taking profits and putting it some into fiat so that we have money to spend on things that we need money to spend on. And I'm like, a day is coming where you won't want it in fiat. At least that's what it appears to be.
And that's where the DeFi solutions come in, where you can borrow against your Bitcoin and take some money now. And then whenever the price of Bitcoin is much higher down the road, you're able to repay that back and have access to all your Bitcoin instead of selling it, which I wish I had done more of that. That's one thing that Celsius does. And there's some other stuff, all these other amazing DeFi solutions.
Here's a story from the New York Post, which is really interesting. Two New York City bars could make U.S. history by selling for Bitcoin. This one guy here says he's tired. He's ready to head south, play golf, spend some time with his family. And he is selling two different bars, both of them. You have to buy them together. It's 800 Ethereum tokens or 25 Bitcoin, and you buy both of the bars, which is about $875,000 as of the article being written.
Well, I mean, this might've been a good idea potentially a year ago. Now, like, what's going on in New York? Everything's shut down. There are no bars open. There are no restaurants. Who wants to buy a bar? I would much rather keep my Bitcoin and my Ethereum than risk it. It's a super risky thing to want to have these bars instead of having your crypto at this point.
Scruffy Duffy's and Hellcat Annie's on 10th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. The guy here says, I'm hoping to catch one of these crypto dudes who always wanted to own a bar. So and let's face it, there are people that have that kind of money. They're like, oh yeah, I'll buy a couple bars. Let's see if we can fix this up, make it our own thing. We'll rename it, you know, the Bitcoin bar or something, you know.
Why would you want to rename Scruffy Duffy's? That's fucking classic.
Or Hellcat Annie's. I don't know.
It's like, well, so they're side by side. I guess they're right beside each other, because that's what side by side means. And you got to buy both of the bars, you know. But think about that, though. Like, to buy a couple of bars in New York City for less than $1 million at the, you know, it's like in Hell's Kitchen. Like, that tells you there's a mass exodus happening in New York City, folks. Like, there's a lot of people moving out of that area. Massive. A lot of people leaving San Francisco in mass exodus. Like, well, it's not going to come back. It's not going to build back better in some of those places when they're shutting everything down.
No, James, I fear James Altucher was right. He wrote that great article about New York not coming back, that it's gone. Yeah. And people are leaving. The people who can afford to leave and have had enough are leaving. You know, myself, I'm looking at leaving Denver. I, for my own tastes, I find that the politics here is not my cup of tea. And after spending a couple weeks in Florida, where people are free to make their own choices, I'm feeling like that might be the place to go.
I'm thinking about leaving Earth.
Go you gonna get on a Elon Musk rocket?
It's like, I'm sorry, but there's not that much intelligence down here on Earth. There's not too many intelligent life forms, Captain. Beam me up. Hey, so Joel, so you remember back earlier in last year where Wyoming had the very first bank, and they authorized Kraken as the very first crypto native bank in the U.S. And then our friend Caitlin Long, she has a bank that she's been created that's also in Wyoming. Well, now there's a custody pioneer called Anchorage, and they're the first crypto firm to see a charter from the U.S. National Bank regulator. So they're saying, all right, so you're a crypto bank, but now you can actually have a bank charter as well. So that seems to me to be a pretty interesting move towards mass adoption as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what's on the rise, Sir Lord Travis. We just talked about Elon Musk and you grabbing a rocket to Mars. This is pretty amazing. He is very crypto friendly, but his last reported Bitcoin holdings were only a quarter of a Bitcoin, which means I have more Bitcoin than Elon Musk. But do you know what he has? More money than anybody in the world. In the world. Last year, he at the beginning of 2020, he was barely in the list of the top 50 richest people. And in just a year's time, he has become the richest person in the world, surpassing the net worth of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. His net worth is $185 billion. Could you imagine if he picked up Bitcoin with some of that, you know, a few years ago?
Yeah. Well, somebody was actually talking to him about, I think it might've been Michael Saylor that was talking to him. The MicroStrategies guy was telling him giving him some advice that says, hey, you know, make your shareholders happy, convert some of your, excess money into Bitcoin, give them a nice big profit.
You know, here's what's interesting about that, Travis, is we've been speculating that it would be mass adoption by somebody like Amazon that would trigger a huge bull run. But this actually seems way more likely. Could you imagine if he took that advice with Tesla being as on fire as it is, what it would do to the Bitcoin market?
Mm. Yeah, it was interesting. I loved Elon's response on Twitter. He goes, and somebody posted that Elon Musk, the most richest man in the world now, passing blah, blah, blah. And his response was, I'm not looking at it, I'm just remembering it. It's something like this. He goes, well, that's interesting. Okay. Well, back to work.
Right.
It's like, what an awesome dude. And then he also said this is like, he goes, we do not want big tech to be the arbiters of free speech. If that's the case, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people. And then he followed that up with use Signal.
He should just, which by the way, what happened there is really interesting. There is a stock for a company called Signal, and it's not the same as Signal the app. It's Signal Genetics, okay? Yeah. Signal Genetics Inc. And I heard that the stock price for that stock went crazy out of the blue because he said use Signal.
All right. And people were like, oh, Signal. And they went and looked at the stock market and they went and bought that. No, it's actually, if you type in Signal, it wasn't even, a lot of times it won't even pop up. It's signal.org is the website. Now, there's been some conversation around that Twitter owns Signal. And if you dive deep into that, Signal, actually Twitter bought a company called Whisper Systems back in 2011. And then the creator of Whisper Systems, a couple of years later, left Twitter and then created a company called Open Whisper Systems. And that company right there was what created Signal. So some people who are saying that Twitter is owned by Signal, I don't believe that is accurate. Signal was created by Open Whisper Systems and not Whisper Systems, but similar, but they don't own it, at least from what I understand.
Well, here's a couple things on the Signal site. First of all, is a testimonial from Edward Snowden. I use Signal every day. Mm-hmm. Jack Dorsey says he uses it, but if you scroll down the page, it says Signal is an independent nonprofit. We're not tied to any major tech companies, and we can never be acquired by one either. Development is supported by grants and donations from people like you. So it's free, it's nonprofit. And apparently they can't be bought.
I love that. And there's no ads, no trackers. There is none of your data is passed through to anyone. It is 100% encrypted. So if you're going to have conversations now around crypto or any political type of stuff, you know what? You might want to do that with your family on Signal. Could be a little safer than, you know, using Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or Instagram, all three of which are owned by Facebook.
Meanwhile, we've been asking the question, is it alt season? Well, altcoins are definitely moving up, and DeFi tokens have been moving up as well. You know, we just saw, case in point, we're talking about this Voyager token going up 437% in a week. You know, Ethereum is approaching its all-time high again. I think its all-time high was 1450. It hit 1350, came down to just under $1,000. Right now it's sitting at 1210. It's looking, you know, very healthy. And typically a run in Ethereum means that many of the tokens that are built on Ethereum, which are all the DeFi projects and many altcoins, many NFTs projects, that those are going to go up along with them. So maybe the biggest run is yet to come.
Well, I would say this. I would almost guarantee that the biggest run is yet to come, because if we're sitting at around 40 grand and people are talking about this is going to hit 115 by the end of this year, there's some people saying that by this time next year it'll be over 300,000. That's JP Morgan that's saying that. Like, if they're going to just print more and more money than they ever have ever, then that money is going to, you know, have less buying power, and so it's going to take more of them to buy the Bitcoin. So that's what's going to happen. Keep printing that money, the price of Bitcoin is going to keep going up, because they can't manipulate it like they can the gold prices. And so, yeah, maybe we're going to see more and more of these other projects sort of, you know, gaining some ground. And, you know, and again, I'm going to tell you about that interview we got on Sunday coming out. Like, here's why this guy is thinking that NFTs are where Bitcoin was back in 2010. Like, some of these NFTs are so rare and people are going to want to get in on these down the road. And, you know, even our most common cards, there's only 1500 of them or so. And think about that. Think about what's going to happen down the road when more and more people want some of these things. Like the first series of Garbage Pail Kids, there's what, 1,200 or 1,300 of each rare, or the most commonest one. That's not a lot of cards. And more people are going to want these. And, you know, you got the whole supply and demand thing. Sunday, tune in. Listen, you're going to do it.
Yes, indeed. And by the way, talking about NFTs, there's a bit of news that happened in the Blockchain Heroes Megaverse. I opened up a phase one hero pack from the latest series of Blockchain Heroes, and out of my pack sprung the elusive one of one electric disciple. I did not record it, but immediately I called you. I said, come into Zoom. I got to show you this. You're not going to believe it. And, you know, we had talked from the beginning that at least for me, if I got one of those, I wouldn't feel right just, you know, purely profiting from it, because it's my own project. So what I did is I contacted the Blue Whale and I said, here, this is a one of one. I got it. You know, give me a favorable amount of money and I'm going to donate half of it to wateraslife.com. So he gave me $10,000 in wax for this. And I went ahead and surprised my friends at the nonprofit, wateraslife.com, and sent them 132,000 wax. And I say that to encourage you guys to check out wateraslife.com and the good work that they're doing around the world. They're drilling a well in Kenya right now. We're talking about in a community where the water quality they have is like sludge. It's just filled with bacteria and people die every day. And they're drilling a clean water well. It's costing them $35,000. The team members hardly take any salary at all. The majority of it goes to these solutions. And I'm going to give you a wax wallet address where if you're a wax user, you can donate. Several people have joined me already in doing so. The wallet address is doxay.wam. Send your generous wax contributions to Water is Life and you will save lives. And it's also super cool that I finally got something really nice out of one of my packs. Travis is like, what? No more complaining for you, how you never get mythics or anything.
Yeah, no kidding. Is it? It was getting sad. You're like whining incessantly.
I never got anything. I never get anything. I open packs and they're always vanilla. Sir Lord Travis Wright, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I has a question. That question is, let's say I needed to source some design work, or I needed a freelancer to make me a video or something like that. Where would I go?
Well, there are some traditional places that you might go that historically people have gone to do things, right? We all have heard about Fiverr. We've all maybe heard about Upwork, which is a place you can go. But we're in the crypto space, and so we would like to support the cryptos, folks. And so anytask.com is a place where you can go and find amazing freelance artists. We've actually found some on that to do some blockchain hero stuff with us. There's over 4 million users worldwide. And what's cool is on AnyTask, they earn their money in ETN tokens. Then they can use those ETN tokens to then top up their minutes on their cell phone, right? In a lot of countries, you know, you don't have a monthly plan that gives you unlimited. They have to buy them per minute and per usage. And then also in other several countries, they can top up their home electricity with ETN tokens. So this is really, really doing good stuff. And guess what? The cost to do and to cost of working on any task is relatively low. There's thousands of tasks for like a buck a piece. Some of them, you know, some of the bigger tasks obviously are going to cost more. But yeah, digital task there, they got a 5 times better value. You know, there's over 15,000 professionals from over 140 countries. And working with them, you're doing good stuff. So keep doing that good stuff and go to anytask.com.
Most excellent. This story is interesting and amusing, and some would say interdasting. And you could check out the story itself in our show notes, along with all of the stories that we're covering and our sponsors. If you go to badco.in/478, it's 478 because that's the show number, badco.in/478. And this story on Business Insider reads thusly: a federal judge issued a warrant for seizure for about 392 Bitcoin, valued at about $16 million, which U.S. attorneys said was owned by a group of darknet drug dealers. The Bitcoin, along with an old fishing boat and a squid catching permit, have been held by U.S. Marshals since 2019. They laundered $600,000 by buying a California squid permit and a 1974 Triumph fishing vessel. Something, name something you have not thought of buying with your Bitcoin: a squid permit.
So that I don't got much to add to that. That's just, you know, they did a seizure of 392 Bitcoin. Now it's worth about $16 million. And, wow. And then whatever this 1974 Triumph fishing boat is worth, I don't know.
What's a squid permit worth on the secondary market?
Wow. So
look at Craigslist squid permit.
How much is a squid permit? That is interesting. So yeah, $600,000 they were able to try to launder, and then 392 Bitcoin. Damn. I bet they wish they had that Bitcoin, and I bet they wish they didn't get caught.
I bet this guy wishes he didn't get caught either. His name is Steve Chen. He's a California man, and the U.S. Department of Justice announced that he's been sentenced to 10 years in the Fed for his leading role in a major crypto fraud case. The judge called it a scam of epic proportions. It was a massive investment scam where a multinational company issued a phony digital currency purportedly backed by billions of dollars worth of amber and other gemstones. The U.S. Fine Investment Arts, Inc. was one of the companies that he owned.
Yeah, but not only that, they've about $147 million was taken from 72,000 different victims in a very large pyramid scheme. And think about that, like 72,000 victims. And wow, and he's been doing this stuff since before September of 2014. And then he basically promoted these coins as a legitimate currency that were backed by these gemstones. And so instead of currencies backed by gold, these are backed by all these jewels, except there were no jewels. and they were backed by nothing, and he got busted. That's what he gets. That's what he deserves.
It's in the slammer.
Don't be scamming people. You know what? Here's a scam that happened. I think you guys need to be aware. There's going to be more and more scams that are going to be happening as we move along over these next few years, because COVID has bankrupt a lot of people. There's a lot of small businesses that are out of money, and people are trying to do whatever they can to scrape and try to survive. And, you know, some people, you know, tend to choose the wrong path. For instance, so my family dog had passed away back in November. My kids, they decided they wanted to get a new dog here this past week. My daughter found one on graciousSamoyeds.com, and they found this dog, beautiful white dog, for $700. And my son and my daughter both chipped in equally to get this dog. And it turns out that website is a complete scam. So not only are they sad that their dog has died, but now they've lost $700 of their own dollars trying to get this dog that they wanted to help bring them joy. And then they didn't involve me in the whole process as they live with their mother, but they were like, all right, here, I found this. And then I typed in gracious Samoyeds and scam, found immediately on some comments on a site that there's gracious pecans dogs and gracious huskies and gracious all those others, and they're scams. And so there's going to be more and more scams. The moral high road, I think, is going to be gone here, folks, as more and more people become bankrupt worldwide. What we're going to see, the world is going to descend into some serious darkness, because, you know what, I don't think we're going to have as many opportunities as might have been before this whole COVID thing. As things get shut down, businesses get permanently shut down, people lose their livelihoods, and more scams start popping up. So you got to be aware, always, you know, trust the goodness in people, but always verify. Don't just blindly trust. You got to verify that stuff's real, because a lot of times you'll find out it's not.
Scammer's going to scam, and hammer's going to ham. And remember, snitches get stitches, and scammers get slammers. This is interesting. You know, we have been working with the folks at Animoca Brands. They got a lot of products that they deal with, you know, F1 Delta Time. They've got the Sandbox. They work with Mattel, Garfield. The list goes on, and they've got their own Rev token. They have announced a deal with the Binance Smart Chain. So they are going to be putting more and more of their gaming assets on Binance Smart Chain. And so I think that, you know, they're really getting ready to explodify.
I believe so. I mean, a lot of stuff going on here, and Binance and working with Animoca, that's a really cool thing. I love that. And actually, Binance acquired a bunch of those land NFTs in the Sandbox. Mm-hmm. So Binance is thinking about NFTs. Binance, hurry up and get on the wax chain, damn it. Do some wax things so we can get wax on Binance so we can have some damn liquidity.
Well, sir, Lard Travis, things are definitely heating up in the crypto world, and they're heating up in the non-fungible token world. For those of you who have not yet hopped on the NFT train, what are you waiting for? Every Friday, we do the Nifty Show, and we do it live. It's on video, so you could actually see our faces as our mouths move and the words come out. And some of you who have never seen us think that this voice speaking to you right now goes with Travis's body. It does not. This is, I'm the guy with the glasses. Travis is the guy with the cancer.
I'm the sexy one.
Yeah. So sexy. They had to make Travis sexier looking because I have the sexier voice. Every Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific, the Nifty Show. And it's live at nifty.show/YouTube. Or if you are a fan of decentralized live streaming video, as we are, because we broadcast there as well, nifty.show/theta, T-H-E-T-A. You can earn Theta tokens by watching and engaging on that platform. So we encourage you to come join us in the brave new world of NFTs. And don't say we didn't tell you so a few years from now, when some of the NFTs that are coming out now are super valuable. I don't know which ones they're going to be, but there will be some.
Yep. And you can check out my OnlyFans at nifty.show/sexy.
And as long as we're having a good time, Why not try out Super Crypto Kart on Chain Games? Battle against the rest of the world with your favorite crypto projects and characters in a blockchain-enabled kart racing game for Windows, Mac OS, Linux, and Android. It supports real crypto payouts for multiplayer racing, battle mode, Rocket League, and capture the flag. It's at chaingames.io. You could even race as the bad coin cart, featuring myself as the driver and Travis as the lip diddler sitting in the sidecar doing nothing, yelling at me, slow down, speed up.
No, I'm the guy that slows down the car, which is chaingames.io. And they have a chain token that you can actually access on Uniswap. So I've noticed it's doing some moving things.
And you can stake it.
You can stake it too. You're going to be bringing in like all kinds of existing games like Madden. And they're already got Call of Duty on there, so you can actually earn crypto while playing your favorite games. Like they're porting them in there. It's going to be really cool. I'm a big fan of it, and we love Adam Barlin, the guy who created it. He's also the guy who created Trust Swap, which is a big DeFi project.
You know, while we're talking about games and all of that, our friend Ken Bosak, otherwise known as Bitcoin Bro, has a YouTube channel. And along with my son, who is Zach Com, known as at Finally Aligned and creator of the world's first tokenized podcast, they do blockchain game night live every Saturday evening. Is it 7 o'clock Mountain? I'm trying to remember what time they do.
9 o'clock Eastern.
9 o'clock Eastern.
I just heard Bosak say it last night. I asked them 9 o'clock Eastern.
So, and these guys, they'll like open up a game and they'll, you know, get on, they'll play it and they'll walk you through it and they'll have a lot of fun and they're getting some pretty good views on this. So I'm going to put this in the show notes as well for blockchain game night and encourage you guys to go and check out what these two guys are doing live every Saturday night.
Do it. Check it out. And again, folks, we really appreciate you tuning in to Bad Crypto. You're going to want to listen to Sunday's episode every week. You're going to want to do that every for the rest of your life, every Sunday. You can listen. You don't have to listen to it on Sunday, but that's when we release it, is Sunday evening. This show is going to be pretty amazing. And if you would be so kind as to leave us a review on iTunes or any of your other podcasting platforms, that would be amazing, because that's how we find new people to listen to the show.
In just a few short weeks, we're going to be making a big announcement about our new token that we're going to be rolling out to you guys that are active participants in the Republic of Bad Cryptopia, and you're not going to want to miss that either. So make sure you're listening in to each and every episode, share it with a friend, review us, and stay bad. The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.
Down, 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 down. Down, 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 down.
Hey, he's the baddest. Hey, he's the fattest. Hey, don't be bad. Stay back, yeah.